There are signs of a business revolt against new minimum pay laws. Warnings are being sounded about job losses and price increases. The government is increasing the minimum wage and rebranding it as the National Living Wage. It'll increase by 50p for over 25s from April to £7.20 an hour. A series of staged increases are expected to take it above £9 an hour by 2020. Whitbread, who own the Premier Inn and Costa Coffee, say price rises are inevitable. And the head of Wetherspoons is predicting pub closures. The trade unionist, Carmel Gates, with us this morning. The businessman, Erwin Armstrong. Morning to you, Carmel.
Morning, Steve.
Morning, good morning. Good morning, Erwin.
Good morning, Steve.
Listen to these,
good morning,
listen to these companies, Erwin, moaning, whinging and suggesting that the prices will be passed on to the customer. Plenty of margin for businesses to absorb it themselves, is there not?
No, I think that is the sort of mistake people make. And, you know, you've got to remember, if you take the Northern Ireland case, that the number of small businesses in Northern Ireland who only employ one or two people, there's an awful lot of those around. And a lot of those companies struggle to make a profit. So anything that happens in them is going to have an impact. And when you move into larger companies, if you start looking at increasing pay levels at the bottom, then the people above that want a pay rise, and the people above that want a pay rise, because believe me, within businesses, people are always looking around to see how they compare with the people they're working around. So if the minimum wage becomes £9, the person who was on £9 then wants £12, etc., etc. And that is not sustainable in business without passing it on. And if you take in particular the care sector, it's in an intolerable position where, on one hand, its paymaster is the government, who pays them for looking after the elderly at home, which is what everybody wants now. And on the other hand, they're saying, by the way, you're having probably a 25 to 30% price increase, but we're not giving you a price increase.
Carmel?
That's not going to work. Will not work.
It's the usual scare tax by big business. Basically, it's a big contract. The Tories are claiming to be the party of the workers, and they're increasing the living wage, which essentially is still a very poor poverty wage. What they're going to do is pay it back to those companies, because they've already indicated they're going to cut corporation tax. And in the meantime, they're going to take it back off those low-paid workers because they're making cuts to working tax credits. It's absolutely disgraceful, these companies. This scare tactics that they suggested before, companies are going to go out of business, people are going to lose their jobs if we increase the minimum wage. And actually, what has happened is economists have had to, since then, say that it is all nonsense, that the economy actually does better when workers are paid a fair and decent wage, when they are on decent conditions, when they're on trade union conditions, and when they're paid appropriately, and when they're not having to be bailed out by taxpayers and the public purse through payments and benefits. And what's an absolute disgrace is that these companies that are complaining about this now helped get the Tories elected, put out their statements in advance of the election to ensure the Tories got back in, said how dangerous to the economy Labour would be. These chief executives, and Erwin's talking about, the people at the top might want more money. You know that four executives in Whitbread earned £11 million last year, one of them £4.5 million. Now, what that averages out as, £20,000 a day before tax for one person.
Yeah, but you can't really compare, how could you ever compare an executive at the very top of an organisation's salary to someone
on
the shop floor?
Look at the percentage difference. A worker on a living wage is on £16,000 a year. And that is not enough to live on. These executives, how do they justify £20,000 a day? It's an absolute disgrace. And Whitbread,
well, it's what the market tolerates. And
their profits last year
in that height of executive pay,
half a billion, Stephen. That's half the education budget of Northern Ireland. Their profits were up by 17% last year. How many workers in Northern Ireland got a 17% pay increase?
What's wrong with the company making profit?
Their dividends to their shareholders are up. It is absolute unbridled greed, and we're subsidising them because they're not paying a living wage to their employees. We are subsidising it through benefits and through working tax credits, while they're having their corporation tax cut and more handouts from the government.
It's
a continual trickle of the money upwards.
Go on, Eric.
You know, it's interesting you pick on Whitbreads. Why don't you pick on the corner shop where they have two employees?
You know, the corner shop's not the people who are complaining.
Let him finish now, Carmel.
You know, why don't you look at the small businesses? I agree with you. I don't think the level of senior executive pay is right. I think it is far too high as well. You know, there's a lot of studies around that say where the top wage is no more than 20 times or approximately 20 times the lowest wage, those are very successful companies. I cannot see, you know, because a company's making 500 million or a billion or whatever it is, that the income should be there. But that's a totally different argument. The argument that we're looking at today is the impact that it's going to have on businesses.
Here's a question. How much do you need in terms of a decent living wage to have a decent standard of living in this country? 0-30-30-80-55-55. Is £7.20 an hour enough, Carmel?
Absolutely not, Stephen.
So how much do you reckon you need? Let's even forget about an hourly rate. How much do you reckon you need a week to have a decent standard of living?
I reckon that people should be earning at least £10 an hour, immediately £10 an hour, and that they should be getting the hours that they wish to work. Because what we have on top of the fact that wages are so low, we have people who are on zero-hour contracts who can't guarantee that they're going to have a full week's wage.
So you're talking, if you look at a 40-hour week, so you're talking at 400 quid a week, 20 grand a year, basically.
Absolutely.
Is the minimum that someone would need?
Yes. I would, as an absolute minimum, Stephen, to live in any, and that doesn't even allow afford them holidays, that doesn't allow them afford them to pay a mortgage because the rates are exorbitant.
Do you accept that, Erwin?
No, I don't accept it.
How much do you think someone would need to have a decent standard of living?
Well, you have got to look at family incomes anyway. You can't look at everybody as being independent. If a family income is 30,000 a year, that for between two people at 15,000, that would give them a reasonable standard of living.
How much?
Give them, sorry?
How much?
Two at 15 is 30,000 a year as a family income. I know, Stephen, compared to you, that's low, but, you know, 30,000, the average wage in Northern Ireland or at the moment is around 20. There is a much bigger issue that you really have to look at in all of these things is you can't pay more money without increases in productivity. Northern Ireland is already one of the lowest added value parts of the United Kingdom. I think it probably is the lowest value added. Suddenly, we're giving pay rises and value added goes down. And that cannot be sustained in the long term. If you are paying more money, you need better outcomes from it. You need more output. You know, and that's efficiency, and it will drive people.
Erwin, you've already admitted that the part of what's wrong is that chief executives are too greedy, and shareholders and dividends are too greedy, and they're earning too much, and their profits are too high.
But that's not the argument that we're talking about today. Whether somebody earns $1 million a year, $10 million a year, is not part of a living wage.
No, well, we are talking about.
Let's stick to the bit that is around the living wage, and what, you know, because there are families who are out there where the husband is out earning and his wife or partner is working, and between them they're making 30,000, 40,000 a year. You know, you can't say every family, because it doesn't happen today, has one income earner. There are generally nowadays two income earners in families. So
I don't even know what argument you're making in relation to this. What I am saying is that there is an absolute imbalance in the economy where people can earn at the top.
We're talking about the living wage. That's got nothing to do with what a chief executive earns. Let's stick to the subject.
Here's John in Belfast. Good morning, John.
Is the minimum wage?
Hello, Stephen. Here we go again, Erwin on a crusade. Benefits are paid out. A large chunk of the benefit system is paid out on working tax credits and change tax credits, because people who are on the minimum wage have to go cap in hand to get their wages topped up by benefits. So while the big businesses are now screaming about a living wage, they continue to make massive amounts of profits, and it's a poor taxpayer that has to supplement their money by paying out benefits.
What do you think is a decent?
Absolute disgrace.
What do you think is a decent wage?
A living wage.
How much do you think you need in this country, though?
And In this country?
Yeah, in Northern Ireland.
Around about £10 an hour.
So 400 a week, 20 grand a year?
Yeah.
Erwin Armstrong saying you should be able to get by on 15 grand a year.
We have the highest amount we pay in electric, in oil, in gas, in rent. Our food bill is a lot higher than it is over in the mainland. So what is Erwin on about?
John,
could
Erwin
live on £15,000 a year?
Sean next. Morning, Sean.
Morning, Stephen. I'm a carer, does 75 hours a week. I'm classified as a worker. Would they give me £10 an hour? They give me £62.10 a week to live with. That's about £3,000 a year.
Yeah. Well, we've had these discussions before, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have them again, by the way, but just the important job that carers do in this country. The government has acknowledged that themselves, but of course they don't pay you for it, Sean, do they?
No, they do not. They give you £62.10 a week.
Yeah. So how do you
and
get by?
I do 75 hours a week.
How do you get by?
Well, you have brothers and sisters, and they would help out.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen, could I?
And without that, Sean?
Well, I'll tell you what, I definitely would be on the bed lane.
And John and Bangor. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I'm just wondering how you calculate the minimum wage way below what the top line benefit wage is, and that never goes down regardless of the economy. So I would just like to say people should be on £10 an hour minimum, because it's only reasonable to expect somebody working, doing a proper job, should get paid at least 2/3 of what the benefit claimants get for doing absolutely diddly squat.
0-30-30-80-55-55. Go ahead, Carmel.
Yes, Stephen, I was going to say, I mean, when I talk about what people should earn, I'm talking about a young single person deserves a minimum of £10 an hour. People who, with families, who are earning less than that are entitled to working tax credits, and quite rightly so, because it's not enough to live with a family on that amount of money. And Erwin has to understand that what's happening is that the money is trickling up to the rich. Companies are making bigger profits, they're paying out higher dividends to shareholders, they're paying increasingly huge salaries to chief executives, and what they are clear about is they are not allowing their workers to have a decent wage. They threaten price increases, they threaten job losses, because it's interfering with their profits. So what I want to say is we need a fairer society. We need a society where money is not trickling into the hands of the rich, that these companies should be run for the betterment of the whole of society, that they need to pay decent wages, decent conditions. And in fact, I believe these companies should be nationalised, their profits turned over to ensure that we all benefit. The health service in Northern Ireland, the education service in Northern Ireland is being cut to tripe. And the money, two of these companies, Whitbread's and Wetherspoons, between
them... Well, it's not just those companies, is it?
Could finance...
Yeah, but you're picking on those companies.
In Northern Ireland.
There are 25,000 companies in Northern Ireland with sales per annum of £100,000. And when you take two or three salaries out of that, there's not much left. You know, so this concentration...
But I'm not talking about the little companies.
You need to let them finish, Carmel.
Wait a minute. You have to understand that by attacking the big companies is fine. Do that if you wish. But take into consideration the little corner shops. Take into consideration your local spar who employ a few people. You know, those are the companies which are the bedrock of Northern Ireland. It's not the big companies.
And they're struggling because the big companies...
There are 55,000 VAT-registered companies in Northern Ireland and probably another 40,000 of...
And of course, I'm not talking about those ones, Erwin.
Yeah, but you have to look at the smaller companies.
Yes.
That's the bedrock of what we look at in Northern Ireland. It is not the big companies. And when you look at those companies, they're getting by. That's about it.
Malachy Turner, you want to speak to Carmel this morning. Morning, Malachy.
I did. Hi there, Stephen. Carmel, you live in absolute cuckoo land, and you're telling people about £10 minimum wage. Here is the facts, kid, because I live in the real world. I'm an employer. There is nobody, and I mean nobody, in this country will accept for the so-called, and this is what kills me about you people, this so-called low-earning people who are poor. These people... tax credits, family tax credits, working tax credits, benefits, right? The same everything under the sun. If I told them I was paying them £10 an hour and that check was going into the bank, they would take a heart attack because they would lose all their benefits. And you talk about the government propping up the poor. It's me that props up the poor and everybody else like me, because these people earn more than me.
What do you do for a living?
I work for myself.
Doing what?
I'm self-employed, but the bottom line is
doing
this.
What?
The bottom line is this. I work for myself. I do, I don't know how many hours a week. I lose money. You know what I mean? I lose money.
What type of business, Malachy?
It's a restaurant business.
Right.
But the thing about it is, these union people really gall me, because here's the system in this country. They work, they dictate the way they want so that they can still get their benefits.
Malachy, it's not about people keeping hold of their benefits.
But hold on, Carmel, let me finish, because I want to finish a serious point here. And this is what's wrong with this whole society here, right? You didn't get these people in who dictate their wages, who get the benefits. Then what you have is, I'm the working poor because I'm an employer. Then these people who, if they commit a crime, then go to court and get, they get representation, legal aid. Then the judicial system suck the money out of the system as well, because they end up, you get...
Sounds like you've got a real chip on your shoulder about people
But you get these people in court for stealing cars, breaking in. They're up in front of these judges.
We're not talking this morning about people stealing cars and in court. We're talking about people on a living wage.
I understand
We're not talking about criminals.
If you're on that system, you can claim everything, mate. I mean, everything.
Malachy, we're talking about people who work. We're talking about the people who, what do you say, you own a restaurant? We're talking about the people who work a 40-hour week and then like to go out for a meal out. You see, if they don't earn enough, they can't go into your restaurant, Malachy. They can't buy your goods. They can't go into shops. They can't buy a car. They can't go on holidays. If they're not earning a living wage, the economy grinds to a halt, because it's the people at the bottom who spend the money. It's the people at the top who hoard the money. Or if they do spend it, they spend it overseas. They're not paying tax normally.
Okay.
They're buying their yachts. Do you sell yachts, Malachy? Because if you don't sell yachts, and if you don't sell luxury cars and goods, you're not likely
to benefit from what's happening
in the economy, which is at the moment.
All right. Let's not shut each other down.
More time than me. Spend more money on me and have a better lifestyle than me.
Stephen and Derry. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Stephen.
Last call on this, then we'll move on. Go ahead, Stephen.
I was listening to Irwin speak there, and some of the points that he made, you know, if you think about it, Stephen, if people are paid more, and obviously the prices go up, there's actually a feel-good factor when people have more money in their pockets, you know. All right, they might have to pay a wee bit more at the tolls, but when we're earning more, we're feeling better about ourselves. And I think, you know, if you look at Aberdeen's probably it's the most expensive city in Britain they live in. But it's reflective on the wages that people are paid in that town because of the gas and the oil that's off the coast of Aberdeen. So I think there is that feel-good factor it's given when people earn more money, and it is reflective on what they spend at the toll. But there's another point, Stephen, and this is back to the employees or the employers. Taking people on these schemes from the government for, in effect, free labour, basically. And I would like to see a thing in place where these companies are responsible for jobs at the end of these schemes. There must be jobs in place for these people so they stop free labour, in effect.
Okay, Stephen, thank you. Erwin and Carmel, nice to talk to you this morning.